D. Your second season, Eric, starts here later this week. Are you ready?
We are ready. We're excited. We're ready to go. It's been a long, grueling preseason in preparation for the upcoming match against Wisconsin. But, really our preseason preparation starts in January. So this team has been training pretty intensely since January to prepare for the fall season. So we're all kind of itching to get on the field and compete against somebody other than ourselves.
And you're competing against some rather worthy opponents here in your non-conference schedule, kind of diving into the deep end of the pool.
We are. We have, as I said earlier, an aggressive non-conference schedule. We play a lot of opponents that have done well nationally, and certainly Big Five conference schools. We'll kick off with Wisconsin and Illinois this opening weekend, and then we play Marquette. A matchup against Northwestern, Notre Dame, so it's an aggressive schedule.
Wisconsin here on Friday, is that a 7 o'clock start, I believe?
7 p.m. kickoff.
And then over in Champaign on Sunday at 1 o'clock, if you want to make the trip there. You guys won at Wisconsin last year. That was a huge victory.
We did. It was huge for us. It was a huge victory for the program, you know, and they went on to win the Big Ten regular season championship following that, so I think that at times last year we showed that we could play with anyone and beat anyone, and we also showed that we could lose to anyone. So I think developing that consistency from game to game is certainly a priority heading into this fall.
So is the challenging non-conference schedule something that you want to do on a consistent basis? Do you believe that's best for competing in the Missouri Valley?
Yeah, I think it's important for us to find a balance. I don't think we should schedule 10 matches against teams that are going to be ranked in the top 25. But having a balance of teams that are really going to stretch us and challenge us and force us to go through some adversity to grow and help prepare us for the Missouri Valley Conference regular season and tournament is important. So I think that, and also from within our team and from a recruiting perspective, some of the players that are on our team or we've recruited for future years, they want to measure themselves against the best teams. So I think that's something that we'll always try and do is really try and stretch our teams and our the program as a whole to see what our ceiling is.
You talk a little bit about your preseason training. I think you were doing some unique leadership training, I believe, with the local ROTC here at campus, weren't you?
Yeah, we were really appreciative of the ROTC here at Illinois State. We had approached them about doing some team building with our team, some leadership development within our team. So we went out to Kamlara Park last week, and they put us through a bit of a boot camp where we had the team divided into teams, and they were competing against each other in a relay race of sorts. But it was awesome to incorporate the ROTC and some of the values and core values of the military, which are very, very similar to some core values that we have within our program. So it was an opportunity to kind of further highlight that and put them in some adverse situations, so they have to problem solve collectively and they have to learn how to communicate. So it was a good time.
And it was good to see that you had unseasonably cool temperatures to deal with out there too, right?
Mother Nature has not been forgiving over the last couple of weeks.
Eric, I was going to ask you, because I think the most important thing in college is your recruiting, and I was going to say, you beating Wisconsin last year had to help your recruiting for this year. How did it go for you? Did you have a good year?
Yeah, we have a good class, good crop of freshmen now. In our sport, it's always interesting because the recruiting timelines are very accelerated. So right now, for example, we're primarily recruiting 2018 and 2019 graduates.
Ah, very interesting.
So I think that we had some catching up to do with the 16 class. So I think it's a good class, that being said. And our 2017 class is really kind of our first whole class as a staff. So we're excited about the 17s, and we have some players committed for 2018 as well right now. So I think that on the whole, we are very excited about the recruits coming in. But in the meantime, we love who we have on our team now. We think that we can develop and continue to grow with who we have right now.
How about in the near future? Are there any local high schools that have a good program that you're looking at? Any of the local kids in the Bloomington-Normal area?
Yeah, you're trying to get me in trouble with the NCAA right now, so we can't really comment directly on that. But there is some good local talent, and we do have
you've got a couple on the roster right now.
And Hannah Rogers and Keely Theobald are both local players who grew up playing here in town and for local high schools, and ultimately went to Chicago to play club soccer. But we do have some other local players in future years that I cannot comment on directly by name that we're excited about.
Yeah, so. Keeley Theobald's part of the Normal West program, which is really on a roll right now, and they finished, what did they make it to last year, the Super Sectionals?
I think the round of 16.
The round of 16. Yeah. I mean, outstanding team.
They had
a great year. And a young club, too. And that leads me to the youth soccer here in town. You know it's pretty predominant. How does it compare to other areas you've been? You're rather well-traveled individual.
Yeah, you know, I think that it compares pretty favorably to other small to mid-market areas. You know, coming from University of Maryland, where you're surrounded by Washington, D.C., and Northern Virginia, you know, that's one of the top soccer hotbeds in the country. So to try and compare it directly to a market like that is unfair. But for other small market areas, I think the game is continuing to grow, and each of the local clubs have seen their numbers increase over time. You know, we really need a local soccer facility. So if any local Bloomington or Normal politicians are listening, then we really need a local investment in a soccer facility for our youth players. But I think that as the numbers continue to grow, we'd like to see the quality grow with that, and hopefully, you know, it develops to the point where the best players in the area don't have to leave. You know, I think in years past, the best players in the area have left to go play either in Chicago or St. Louis. And we would love to have a larger collection of the better players playing together more consistently under one flag that, you know, doesn't force people to have to travel 2 and 3 hours to play and train at a higher level.
When Ted and I were little kids, soccer did not exist in this country. I mean, I remember going by with some buddies of mine when I was in high school and seeing some kids playing soccer and thinking, what are they doing? What's that? Yeah. What's evolved since then is really pretty amazing. I mean, it's been slow but sure. But where do you is this sport going to go further? Is it going to be the sport that it is in Europe or in parts of South America?
It'll be interesting, you know, just from the time that I had grown up, you know, I would stay up until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning just to try and catch a glimpse of a game that they may show on TV. And now it's on constantly.
Right.
You know, it's on a number of different channels. There's leagues domestically. There's leagues internationally. There's women's football. There's soccer. There's men's soccer on. So I think that the numbers in terms of the number of people playing has grown exponentially, and I think will continue to grow. But I think that what has grown most significantly is the, you know, the advertisers and the marketers and the businessmen and the money men have seen value in the sport. So they've invested a lot more in the sport. So it's getting a lot more exposure. And as it gets more exposure, I think it'll continue to grow. And, you know, as it becomes a viable career for the best of the best, I think it's just beginning. You know, whether it overtakes some of the other major sports in the U.S. in the coming years, who knows? I think there's a lot of variables that go into that, but I think that we are, as a sport, positioned very well in terms of where we fall within the landscape now, and I see that continuing to grow in the coming years.
When you were a kid growing up in Ohio, was soccer your first love, or did you kind of grow into it through other sports?
I was a junkie from the beginning.
Yeah.
You know, I played at a young age and just fell in love with it. For a number of reasons, but I dabbled in other sports, but I never really loved any other sport as much as soccer. So I played basketball, which is difficult to imagine looking at me and my height, I know, but you know, Dan Moeller came before me, so he certainly wouldn't have recruited me, but I played basketball, you know, through middle school, and when the coach said you need to make a choice between basketball or soccer, it was a pretty easy choice.
And with a name like Goals,
it was predetermined, right? I had no choice.
Although you were a keeper.
I was a goalkeeper. It's a terrible name for a goalkeeper. Hopefully it was not an indication of my lack of ability, but I was blessed with the name Goals and found a career in soccer. So,
somebody who is willing to give their body to deflect balls from
entering
the net.
Absolutely. You got to be a little bit crazy to be a goalkeeper.
Well, second year here, I assume you like this area. You've enjoyed your brief time so far here.
It's great. You know, my wife and I both grew up in the Midwest, so it's in terms of the people and the culture and the area, it's familiar to us and where we come from. And having had the opportunity to live in a number of different parts of the country, my wife and I both have, You know, we found this to be where we wanted to be in terms of it being home. You know, the people in the Midwest are first and foremost just quality, good people.